Okay, Chevra. Last time we learned, we began a discussion, a little bit of a discussion, regarding the malacha of makeh bepatish. If you remember, Rashi over here tells us that makeh bepatish means that you knock the stone off of the mountain, and the Balei HaTosfos jump up and down, they spit water nickels, and they say, one second, stones weren't in the Mishkan, how come we're talking about stones? So that was one issue, and the Balei HaTosfos came up with their own answer that makeh bepatish means that basically you finish a keli. We pointed out that that's very nice. Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos over here. What's more troubling, however, is that there's another Rashi that we saw in Daf Ayin Gimel where Rashi says that makeh bepatish basically means that you bang on the keli when you're done. Makeh bekornis al hastam lahachliko bigmar malacha. That you take the hammer and you like bang it on the side. So the Ran already asked in Rashi there in Daf Ayin Gimel, how come Rashi quotes that opinion when that opinion is the opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel as opposed to the Tanna Kamma? Right? This is all Chazara from last time. So we presented the issues. We didn't really come up with a great mahalach. But what I'd like to just focus on now very briefly, because I want to talk about Miskayim tonight more than anything else, but how do we understand the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon Gamliel? What is the dispute between them? So, not exactly clear. We pointed out last time a Rashash here on the Mishnah, no? Mm-hmm. Okay, who and where, who was the Rashash? When and where did he live? Before Moshe Rabbeinu, after?
After Moshe Rabbeinu.
Before of Moshe Feinstein. Okay, somewhere in between, so now we know everything about him. So the Rashash was actually a Rav in Vilna. Traditionally, some people say that the Rashash wasn't such a Talmud Chacham. He was just very, very wealthy. There's something called the Strashun Library. They had an exhibit of the Strashun Library in Israel or something. This was a library in Vilna that became like the main lending library. Everyone was into the Strashun Library. Some say the Rashash was not a Talmud Chacham. That's really a stupid thing to say. The Rashash was like awesome. Rashash wrote notes on almost every daf in Shas. And over here, the Rashash has a small comment where he says that maybe the machlokas in the time to come, Reb Shimon Gamliel, is that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that makeh bepatish b'shas malacha as opposed to makeh bepatish b'shas gemar malacha. In other words, that according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, you could violate makeh bepatish even before you're done with the complete keli. The Tanna Kamma is going to say that you only violate makeh bepatish when you're done with the complete keli. Now, that's a little bit weird when you think about it, no? How could Reb Shimon Gamliel say there's makeh bepatish when I'm in the middle of making the keli? It seems unusual. But apparently, for this opinion, makeh bepatish would mean a significant professional type of action that is done. You know, I could be a bow now. I could build something, but I could build something like the way I would build something. I have like 14 left thumbs. That's just the way Hashem made me. I can't do stuff, right? So that's one type, but you could still violate a malacha. Makeh bepatish might be the professionalism involved in doing a malacha, and maybe that's what Reb Shimon Gamliel is adding, that v'amakeh al hastan b'shas malacha as opposed to shas gemar malacha. However, what we pointed out last time is the way the Ran quotes the Reb Shimon Gamliel, right, that Ran on Lamed Aleph, Bedafei Harif, right, when he's arguing on that Rashi that we saw last time, the Ran quotes it, B'shas Gemar Malacha. So if that's the case, so the Rashash is saying a very nice idea, but incorrect. So, what is a way of understanding the Machlokas Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon Gamliel? So it might be as follows, perhaps. The Tanna Kamma says that makeh bepatish is fixing the keli. Reb Shimon Gamliel says makeh bepatish is fixing the hammer. I think we noted this last time a little bit. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, I violate makeh bepatish when I bang the hammer on the wood. There was some term that you found to translate the word stan. How did we translate the word stan? A block. A wooden block. If I bang the hammer on the wooden block, so that is makeh bepatish according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. For the Tanna Kamma, it's only when I fix the keli, when I finish the keli. One could argue that the Tanna Kamma is disagreeing with Reb Shimon Gamliel la halacha. You see, lacha ora, makeh bepatish means something that I do, and I finish doing it, and I'm not going to do it again. Right? Isn't that make sense? Boy, that's really bad English. Doesn't that make sense? That I do something and I'm not going to do it again. That's makir b'patish. When I have my hammer and I'm banging, presumably I need to bang that hammer on the block quite often because the hammer loses its hammerness, no? It gets dense or something as I'm in the middle of using the hammer, and then it's not a good hammer. So in order to maintain the hammer as a good hammer, I have to do it again and again and again. Can there be makir b'patish on something that I have to do again and again and again? Reb Asher Weiss, Shlita. He's awesome, by the way. Reb Asher Weiss, you like him? Okay. Reb Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher on Shabbos, page 289-290, Reb Asher Weiss suggests that maybe this is the Machlokas Tanakama Reb Shim Gamliel. According to the Tanakama, makir b'patish is only the final act, meaning the act that there will be no act afterwards. But Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, as long as I'm doing an act to fix something, even if I know it's going to break, and I'll have to fix it again, and fix it again, and fix it again, that still is makir b'patish, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. Nafka Mina, Mishneh Berurah Paskins, in Simin, oh, I forgot to bring a Mishneh Berurah, I thought I did. Mishneh Berurah Paskins, in Simin Shin Lamech Ches, about, do any of you have, like, wristwatches that you have to wind?
Yes.
Like, there's a thing. Actually, I inherited one of these watches from my grandfather.
Every day?
Yeah, but not you mean.
Okay. But the old... The old type of wristwatches often had to be wound on a regular basis. Right? That every day... I got a watch. I inherited it from my grandfather. It's like the watch I wear on Shabbos usually. That watch has to be rewound all the time. Like, basically, it'll give me like 36 hours or so of timing. But afterwards, it stops. Now, obviously, I could wind the watch while it's still going, and I get extra time that way, because the way it operates is there's like some spring that I tighten. That's what happens when you wind it, and as you tighten the spring, it will loosen up over time, but I could re-tighten it while it's loosening. Chaya Adam Paskins, quoted in the Mishneh Berurah, Siman Shin Lamed Ches, Sifkat and Tesvav. Chaya Adam writes that to wind a watch while it is still going, or to wind a watch even while it is still going, is an Isser Do'iraisa of Makir B'Patish. Now, the Mishneh Berurah quotes in the Shar HaTzion that many people disagree with this, but Halacha L'Maisa, we're Machmir, not to wind a watch even Al Yedei Yogoi on Shabbos, because that is makir b'patish. And possibly we assume that's also due even Al Yedei Yogoi, because it's makir b'patish min HaTorah. In the Rabbi Ribiat Hilchos Shabbos book, makir b'patish, notes 84 and 85, he quotes this whole discussion, and he quotes, even though there's a strong svara to be makel, that it might not be usher at all, and if it's usher, it might not be da'iraisa, nonetheless, the minhag olam is to be machmir. That, says Reb Asher Weiss, so cha'ora is the same as our machlokas, Tanakama and Reb Shimon Gamliel. Because, right, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, I bang on the block, and I'm going to have to do it again and again. And Reb Shimon Gamliel still says that's makir b'patish, but maybe the Tanakama holds it's not makir b'patish until it's the very, very end. No, I think in the English books, they translate makir b'patish as the final hammer blow.
Yeah.
Right? That's the official translation that's given in like the Oxford English Hilchos Shabbos Dictionary. Now, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, it's not the final blow. That's a chiddush, but la halacha, we seem to paskin like Reb Shimon Gamliel, and we pointed out that the Me'iri seems to paskin like Reb Shimon Gamliel, and maybe that's the pshat in the Rashi on Daf Ayin Gimel. The Rashi's telling me that I paskin Reb Shimon Gamliel, and therefore I'm chayiv on winding a watch, even though I'm going to do it and do it again. Another nafka mina that comes up from this, possibly, is, do any of you know what the Energizer Bunny is?
Yeah,
or these, right? So Energizer bunnies operate on batteries, right? On Duracell batteries, Energizer batteries, whatever they are. What about wind-up toys? Right? Like my kids are into these things. You know, you have like these really annoying little things that you wind up and they like go, then they fall off the table, then they break, then the kid cries, right? You know the way it works? So are you allowed to wind up a wind-up toy on Shabbos? Am I allowed to wind up a baby swing on Shabbos? There are two types of baby swings. There's electronic baby swings. And baby swings are awesome, by the way. For some reason, kids can't sleep when they are staying still. I can't sleep when I'm in motion. No? I can't sleep on an airplane. Some of my kids, babies, can only sleep when they're in motion. It's like, no one has any idea why this is true. It's just like the way Hashem made us. But the... are you allowed to wind a baby swing on Shabbos? Are you allowed to, right? Do I assume it's like winding a wristwatch on Shabbos? And it's going to be an Isser Da'iraisa of Makkah B'Patish? To wind a toy. Is it an Isser Da'iraisa to wind one of those little, like, annoying toys? So, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, somewhere in the Shmir Shabbos, I didn't really look into it, but we could find the Makoros after. Reb Shlomo Zalman says that he thinks it's not Makkah B'Patish to wind up a little toy. You see, my watch, I'd rather that the watch continues going the whole time. My toy, I dafka don't want it to continue going the whole time. It's only Makkah B'Patish if it's something that I would prefer continues to go. Right? I'd rather have a watch that lasts longer. If it stops, it's ki'ilu, it's broken. Because I'd rather it still goes. When I rewind it, I'm doing Makkah B'Patish. However, the toy, I don't want the toy to keep on going the whole time.
You're still doing the same
thing. So, I don't know. Again, like, the concept of psikresha is going to... This isn't a psikresha. Psikresha means I do action A and action B happens inevitably.
This is like malfashion. I don't know, because if you're doing the same
pula... I'm doing the same action of winding, but the action of winding isn't the malacha. The malacha is called Makkah B'Patish. We're assuming that there's Makkah B'Patish if it's something... that I bang, like Makkah B'Kornis HaHastan, is Makkah B'Patish, even though it's going to get ruined again and I'll have to do it again. Because I prefer if the hammer would be made out of a better material that wouldn't get dented after every bang, no? I'd much rather have the hammer remain smooth the whole time. And therefore, because I'd prefer the hammer... stay smooth the whole time, each time the hammer becomes unsmooth and I rebang it, I'm being Makkah B'Patish, I'm being Metake, and I'm fixing the hammer. That's like a wristwatch. But one could argue that the little toy, right, you don't want it to go the whole time. You want it to only keep on going. Right? The whole game of the toy is that the kid has to wind it up, then it stops and you wind up. That's exactly what you want to happen. It's not that you would prefer having one wind and have it keep on going. That's not what you want with the toy. Similarly with the baby swing, you don't want to keep it going the whole time. The idea is to relax the baby until the baby falls asleep and then to stop. Right? That's the whole idea. So therefore, it's not ki'ilu, it's broken, because it's not going the whole time. That's what Shlomo Zalman svara, to be mechalek between the wind-up toy and the wristwatch. What we're noting is that the wristwatch itself is a machlekes hatanoim, and it's just that Rashi and Ayin Gimel is paskening, like Reb Shimon Gamliel, and that's why we're chayiv on the wristwatch. Michal, how are you?
I think I'm misunderstanding something. If for the wind up toy, let's say, right, if you would apply Reb Shimon Gamliel's svara, then you have to similar to the hammer, like you have to keep winding it up to use it. So wouldn't it be even more than like a watch?
Well, the wind-up toy, though, you see, the watch, pardon me, the watch, I'd prefer if the watch kept time the whole time. The reason why battery-operated watches were invented is because they're better than the wind-up watches, because people want the time, you want to keep on telling the time on it. So it's ki'ilu, it's broken when you're not telling the time, because you don't want it to really stop. As opposed to the wind-up toy, that I want it to stop.
Okay.
I think Atari had a comment then, Adina.
Yeah, is this similar to changing the Shabbos clock while it's...
Okay, so changing the Shabbos clock is a question of, like, what's considered grumma or not. To keep the current state longer is permitted. To change it earlier is forbidden. That's the issue with the Shabbos clocks. Over here, it's not exactly the same. Again, look in some of the English language Hilchos Shabbos Harma, the Hebrew language Hilchos Shabbos Harma, about winding watches. I think this whole literature is there. We're just noting that that's potentially the machlokes, Rashbag and Tanakama. Adina Cohen.
So if that's the case, that's kind of what Michal was saying before, then it doesn't seem that the difference, I guess, between the Tanakama and Moshe Gamliel is really that it's done again and again and again. Like, that's part of it, but it also seems to be the caveat that whatever action you're doing is also, in some senses, completing the object. Like, with the banging of the hammer.
Right.
So I'm completing the object, and it just happens to be that the use that I'm using it for is now making it incomplete, so I need to complete it again.
So I think what we'd have to say now is, like, to modify the way we said it. The Tanakhama holds that even though the hammer is broken when it gets its dent,
mm-hmm.
and they have to rebang it, nonetheless, because I know that the hammer is constantly going to become broken and refixed, so Tanakam might say that's not considered the malacha, makam patash. The Rishim Gamliel says, no, each time it's broken, there's a malacha, makam patash, afterwards. Is that... I mean, I'm going to try to refine what I said in light of your comment. So making the hammer... If I'm in the factory and I make a hammer, for sure that's a makam patash, right?
Right, but even though it's the same, an example might be like a knife, right? Let's say a similar example. Let's say I'm using a knife.
Sharpening the
knife.
And then
I keep sharpening it. So within the act of, like, I'm just cutting down a bunch of things, so I guess I have to sharpen it relatively frequently, the Tanakhama would say that's not makam patash. But when I was making a knife, even though I'm doing the same exact action,
exactly,
after sharpening a knife, that one would be makam
patash. I think so. Of course, we'd have to still tighten the screw and try to figure out what precisely the difference between making it the first time in the factory and remaking it after is. I mean, I could hear it, but I would have to define the story a little bit better. But I think we're beginning the process of understanding. Okay, ladies, should we continue our study of Torah? Okay, so let's go on. The next point I wanted to discuss in the Mishnah is Zehaklau. The Mishnah says, Koha osa malacha malachto miskayemis b'shabbos is chayiv. If I do a malacha and the malacha is miskayim on Shabbos, then I am chayiv. So how do I translate these words? Koha osa malacha umalachto miskayemis b'shabbos. Dun dun dun.
Thanks for your going for it.
Speak to me, yeah?
Rashi seems to say that if you do a malacha, well, according to it seems that Rashi, the Shartia. Okay, so Rashi thinks it seems that if you do a malacha on Shabbos, and that's a malacha that's mikram, it seems to imply that it's something that would last for, I guess, an indefinite period of time.
Correct.
Then you're five. But if it would only last for like a very small period of time, then you're not five. Versus the Rambam, who seems to say that he has like a shortened requirement of time, and as long as it's not going to last, if it's going to last for a day, but not longer than a day, then you're five. Yeah.
Exactly. So the Rambam, I mean, very good. Yashikach. The Rambam writes that Koha osa malacha umalachto miskayemes b'shabbos. For the Rambam, that means that the malacha will last on Shabbos, and then you're chayiv. There is. Do you remember, there used to be, maybe this is probably before your time, Inspector Gadget used to be, right? So this letter will self-destruct, no? So this, you probably didn't have Inspector Gadget in Canada. You missed out. Inspector Gadget is an example of, this thing will last a certain amount of time, after that time the letter will self-destruct. So for the Rambam, if that amount of time is Shabbos, you're chayiv. The Rambam reads, "Also malacha malachto miskayemes b'Shabbos." If it lasts on Shabbos, you're chayiv. That's the Rambam. Rashi writes, "Also malacha Right? Rashi writes that the word b'shabbos is a'osa malacha koi. And therefore, according to Rashi, what I'm saying is that if I do a malacha on Shabbos, and the malacha lasts, right? Notice, according to Rashi, he's reading the Mishnah in a... he's like almost cutting and pasting to read it. He's like, the word b'shabbos, it's at the end of the sentence, but really should be at the beginning of the sentence. Right? Ka'osa malacha b'shabbos u'malachto miskayemes. That's where Rashi aligns. Now, that would mean that for Rashi, we don't know how long the Zman of Miskayim is. It's Adina said nicely, an indefinite amount of time. But for the Rambam, it means on Shabbos. Let me give you an example of why this is relevant. In Shari Tzedek Hospital, so one of the things that you have to do is they write prescriptions on Shabbos. Now, the doctors don't want to be Mechal al Shabbos. So they have this type of Machon Somet put out a pen that has... Remember, like, as a kid, we used to get these in Fruity Pebbles, the invisible ink pens, or, like, that the ink would, like, go away after a while. You know what I'm talking about? So that's what they write prescriptions with in Shari Tzedek on Shabbos. And you have to make sure that you... go to the pharmacy and get your prescription filled before it disappears. That lecha'ora for the Rambam, the din is b'shabbos. Now, it's not clear for the Rambam, I have to admit, what happens if I'm writing a prescription at 5 p.m. and Motzei Shabbos is going to be at 6 p.m. Right? Does it have to dissolve? Does the ink have to become invisible before 6 p.m.? Right? Or... right, it's unclear from the Rambam. The Rambam writes that nusach per kas halacha yud gimel, if the malacha is miskayem is b'shabbos, right? You get the impression that it doesn't matter when you do the malacha as long as it lasts till the end of Shabbos. Although it seems like highly unreasonable, right? That if I do the malacha Friday night, I could get 23 hours of ink. If I do the malacha on Shabbos late afternoon, right, it has to dissolve within half an hour. It seems very unreasonable, but maybe that's a pshat in the Rambam, not clear. For Rashi, however, there is a certain amount of time that it is that's necessary. The Mishnah Brura quotes this in that Shar HaTzion in Simen Shin Gimel Os Samachas. Yeah.
I have a question on this thing of Shar Tzedek. They use invisible ink pens. Let's say they're doing that.
Dissolving ink, not invisible.
Okay,
invisible ink.
No. Invisible ink. It's still. No, I got it. So dissolving ink pens. So let's say write prescriptions.
Yeah.
Now let's say you don't need to get your prescription that day. You really could have gotten it tomorrow, but now they're making you do malacha sort of by going to get your prescription.
Again, I think they wouldn't write the prescription on Shabbos if you didn't need it today.
But let's say you won't be in the hospital tomorrow. They might.
You'll get some other doctor. They're okay. Smart. They can figure it out. Like you contact somebody else who will.
They also like, take all their notes on it.
I mean, there's actually writing on Shabbos for how many of you are planning on becoming doctors? Anyone? Seriously? Like we started this shiur actually because the Gemara, like this conflict with science class, or the people who are pre-med. At least that's what my niece told me.
Yeah, she started it and she left. And she's pre-med.
That's true. All right.
I have a question. Well, Adina kind of mentioned this. What would be in terms of like writing with dissolving ink and then rewriting it? I'm not sure there's not for me
to put. We'll get to that on Kuf Dalet. There's a discussion in the Gemara about Ksav Agav Ksav B'Shabbos. Hold it. We'll get there.
Like Freya, almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like after Shabbos. I feel like it's a Hanah.
So, they're actually, at the very end of that Tshuva in Reb Shlomo Zalman, he talks about that a teeny bit.
Like, doctors write ink on their hands.
What?
Talks about the doctors write on their hands.
Doctors write on their hands.
Yeah,
I think that's what he said. Because
mm-hmm. But writing on your hand is going to be a problem, right? The Rambam writes that writing on your hand is chayiv.
Yeah, it's not.
So we'll have to. Now the Mishnah Brura quotes this, Sophia.
I have a question. Could it possibly be about let's say you write is that it has to last till the end of Shabbat, or is it the 24 hour period? I guess. But in a way, could we, I mean, like, logically, it sort of seems like, oh, that's so crazy that, like, if I did it at 5:30 in Shabbat and it's at 6, then I'd be high for that because it's, like, 30 minutes. But could it, in a way, like, be a din of, like, by, like, being a, you know, like, how being a shmasho, that, like, what, like, an object is, then, like, that's its status for that whole day. So, like, if you, like, did it on Shabbat and it doesn't last, like, the next being a shmasho, but, like, it lasts less than, like, whatever time from one being a shmasho to the next, if it never existed by the next being a shmasho, that's as if, like, it never existed. Or is that too far-fetched?
I think I hear what you're saying. It's very creative. It's, like, too... Pascal's theorem is that the most the most correct answer is going to be the straightest, the short Occam's razor. Thank you, Occam's razor. Right. So that's the basic idea. I think what you're saying is a little too creative. Now, the Mishnah Brura quotes this discussion. The Mishnah Brura in Shin Gimel Os Samaches in the Shar HaTzion assumes that there's a fundamental machlokes Rashi and the Rambam, and he brings this down in the context of the Gemara in Sadi Dawid tells me that a woman is not allowed to braid her hair on Shabbos or to undo her braids on Shabbos. The Gemara there derives from a pasuk Vayivan Hashem Elokim es Ha'isha that Hakadosh Baruch Hu built Chava, so to speak. Zok the Gemara, Vayiven means somehow, in some language, somewhere, that he braided Chava's hair and sent Chava to Adam. That's what, you saw the Gemara? It's kind of amazing, right? And therefore there's a Isser D'Oraisa of braiding hair on Shabbos. Now, question, right? There's an Isser of braiding hair on Shabbos. Question, is this considered a real Isser? Or is this like some sort of dirabonon? Right? And the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says, "V'chi derech tevia b'kach." Right? "V'chi derech ariga b'kach." Right? Is this the? Are you going to be chayiv on this? Like, it's not the normal way. Right? So, Tosfos here on. Sadi Dalar Amid Beis, you could take a look if you want to just follow along. The little Tosis at the bottom. Tosis says, well, what's the difference between braiding hair and weaving? So Tosis says, well, maybe hair is different than threads. That's one approach. The second approach that Tosis gives is that braiding hair is not sofa lehiskayim. She'omedes l'stira. Braiding hair won't last forever because you will undo it. Right? Usually people don't leave their braids forever. Right? By the way, it's also interesting that it says in Shulchan Aruch that about a woman braiding her hair. Apparently, the notion that guys braid their hair also, not so common in Yeshiva College, but it is possible. But that doesn't make it. So the Mishnah Brura quotes that it's not really weaving min ha-tayra because A, hair is attached to your head, and normally you don't weave things that are attached on one side. B, it's ein sofa lehiskayim because it's omedas l'stira, because you will undo it. Like Tosa says on Sadi Dalam Abeis, if I'll undo it, that's why it won't be permanent. So that's where the Mishnah Berurah quotes this discussion of how impermanent does it have to be to not be chayiv on Shabbos? That's the discussion that the Mishnah Berurah has, Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. Although, as we noted, both within Rashi and within the Rambam, there are certain spekos, there's a certain uncertainty as to what they mean. For Rashi, we don't know how long it is, and for the Rambam, we're not sure what happens when it's on the Shabbos itself. Now, it would seem to me that perhaps there's no machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Va'afareshet sichati. The Rambam, the context in that Rambam, in Paraktes Halacha Yid Gimel, is the malach of Tzoveya. If one of the 39 malachos on Shabbos is dying, and if I dye a thread that is 4 tefachim long, so I'm chayiv. But I'm only chayiv if I'm Tzoveya Tzeba HaMiskayim, But if it's not miskayim, kigon shehevir sirak o sheshar gabe barizel utzva o pator, shehare atama aviro l'shato ve'eno tzove yaklum. The Rambam says that if I take metal and I put like dye on the metal, so I'm not chayiv for tzoveya, because it's not miskayim. It's not miskayim. The Magid Mishnah writes that the Rambam is really picking up on the miskayim that we find by Shabbos. Now, I know, I'm skipping one line in the Magid Mishnah, but, excuse me, the Magid Mishnah says that we're picking up on the miskayim that's found by the Malach of Kosev. One could argue that miskayim means different things in different places. Maybe miskayim by bone means one thing, and the miskayim by tzoveya and by kosev means something else. Now let's just think about it for a second. By kosev, the idea is that it has to convey a certain meaning. If it will disintegrate, this message will self-destruct, and it doesn't convey that meaning. So, or it conveys a meaning for a very short time, so that's not considered kosev. So veya is very similar to kosev. In fact, many of the achronim spend a lot of time thinking about what's the difference between soveya and kosev. Because when you think about it, I have a white piece of paper, and I put color on it. Is that soveya or that's kosev? Well, kosev is that the color that I put on has distinctive shapes. Right? But if, why do I need a malacha of kosev when I should be chayav for tzoveya anyway? Because even if the shapes that I put on that white paper are not distinctive, I ended up dyeing the paper. Now, we don't think of it this way, but ink on paper is dyeing the paper, right? So there's a whole discussion in the Achronim, why do I need a malacha of kosev if I already have a malacha of tzoveya? That's a creative question. But one could argue that both tzoveya and kosev, the goal is to convey a certain meaning. The goal is to make a certain change. If the change is not significant, right? Let's say kids, you know, have these spoons that change colors if I put it in hot and in cold. My glasses change colors when you go outside or inside the photogrey lenses. That's assumed not to be a malacha at all. People wear these photogrey lenses on Shabbos all the time. The spoons are probably permitted also. Why? Right? Aren't I dyeing it? I'm changing the color. So the answer is, well, it's really temporary. And the malach of tzovei and the malach of kosev, there's a certain degree of permanence that's assumed. Tara?
I only care about the masa that you're doing, which, like, when I write something that lasts or when I write something that doesn't last, I'm doing the same thing, but really we only care about...
So, again, it could be that the ma'asa of kosev is enough to be chayiv midirabonon, but in order to be kosev min ha-Torah, it has to be similar to the kosev in the Mishkan, which involved, right, writing and keeping that writing for a long time. I'm writing on the krushim, I'm writing on the beams of the Mishkan, right, we were just discussing this, in order that when I reassemble the Mishkan, like, the pieces all go. So it has to last. If it's not going to last, that's not the type of kosev they had in the Mishkan. That's not the malach of kosev. Right? So, I would contend, perhaps, that maybe there is a difference between various malachos. You see, I could argue that the Rambam is telling me in Parak Tes Halacha Yud Gimel that it's only Eino Miskayim by Tzoveya, similar to Kosev, if it will come off on its own over a certain amount of time, a relatively short time. I put some dye on metal, it will come off pretty soon after. So that's not considered Kosev. More time than that is Kosev. Perhaps by Bona and by Makeh B'Patish, the idea is that I need a little more time. Because the malacha of bona means I build something. Right? Usually when I build stuff, there's a degree of permanence involved in building it. A similar conversation that we had 5 minutes ago in terms of makeh v'patish, one could argue that it's makeh v'patish means I finish the item. If it's not really finished, if it's finished and then, right, you have to redo it, finish and have to redo it, maybe that's not called finishing. So one could argue that that I have a different definition of miskayim. And there's some term for this in English, no? The same word that means different things in different places?
A homonym.
A homonym. Thank you. Homophone and homonym, I think there are. Right?
I think so.
Are you
right? No, yeah. They're the same word.
Like
parent.
It's different
than
this.
Oh, homonym
is like parent.
This is
like
the same word, just means
everything's
different
context.
Right.
Oh, as in
like
this.
Like
gay and gay.
Yeah,
sure.
Like what?
Like gay and happy and gay.
Correct. Yeah. That's all. You know that, who was it before Dear Abby, who was like the advice columnist in like the 1930s in all the American newspapers? So there was once a question that was asked, like, what are you supposed to wear to a gay wedding? And, like, the question was, like, a happy summertime wedding, what do you wear? And, like, in terms of the color scheme or whatever, and it has a totally different meaning in the year 2019 than it did in the 1930s, right? Okay. Now, one could argue, I think, that the taich, that the word miskayeh means different thing by different malachos. And by Bonet and Makib Patish, it has to be more miskayim, just because the nature of the malacha is to last longer. You see, kosev, right, the Mishnah Berurah at Bir Halacha and Shin Mem, and Shin Mem Sif Tesvah, he quotes in the Rashba. Kosev, I write something. It doesn't, I could write things for different purposes. I could write like a history book. I could write a Sefer Torah, where I intend that it's going to last. Right, what does the pasuk say by Yirmiyahu Anovi Laman Yamdu Yomim Rabim? Right, that you're leaving it there for a very, very, very long time. Is that the only thing that's kosev, or maybe it's kosev? You know, sometimes I take notes, and I'm going to rewrite it after. Right, so the notes that I'm taking now are not Laman Yamdu Yomim Rabim. It's just brief notes in order to last until I have a chance to rewrite it. Right, one could say that each malacha is defined, or the translation of the word miskayim by every malacha depends on what that malacha is. And imkenim hadevarim, if we're correct, so then there is really no machlokas between the Mishnah, between the Rambam and Rashi. The Mishnah Berurah, who creates a machlokas, Rambam and Rashi, perhaps is not being sensitive to the svara that we could be machalik between the different malachos. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, already in the Tshuva Mincha Shlomo, which was WhatsApped to the group beforehand, Reb Shlomo Zalman already basically disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah, no? But Reb Shlomo Zalman is a big anav, so he doesn't really want to say that he's disagreeing with the Mishnah Berurah so explicitly. He just writes that, like, it's very difficult. I saw that the Mishnah Berurah says this, and it seems to be against the halacha of like writing on your skin, the halacha of if I scratch something on a piece of parchment, I take my fingernail and I take a piece of parchment, I scratch on it. I know. It's not a blackboard, right? It's much, I don't know why, there are certain things that like really freak people out, like, but whatever, okay. I hope everybody's asleep tonight. I hope they didn't scare you too much. But if you scratch on a piece of parchment, so, you know, that's considered kosev. Why is that considered kosev? It's not going to last forever. Right? It's not. It's going to last more than a day. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says that even according to the Rambam, kosev is some indefinite time, not one day. Miskayim of kosev, I should say. The miskayim is not only one day. We don't say there's like a fixed cutoff of one day, and he brings the proof from writing on the skin. Writing on the skin, we paskin, is chayiv. It will go away after a while, no? I'm sure you all wrote on your skin as kids.
But it takes longer than a day.
So it takes longer than a day, sometimes, sometimes not. Now, some poskim say, well, writing on the skin may be the only reason why the writing should be permanent. The only reason why it goes away over time is because we're alive. If we'd be dead and we would write on our skin after we're dead, right, it would last. It's the heat of our bodies that makes the ink dissolve. Correct? You never thought about this one, did you?
Is that real? I thought I'd still be washing it.
And again, if you wash, obviously it goes off. But the basic point that we're trying to get at is different malachos might have a different shear of miskayim. And let me give a few examples where this is interesting or comes up. Yeah?
Rosh Shlomo Zalman says that for Kosev, miskayim is less than a day.
For Kosev, miskayim is more than a day. The measurement that the Rambam gives of one day, he thinks that the measurement that the Mishnah Berurah gives within the Rambam of one day, he doesn't think is correct. Haraya, right, that...
So that means that the Rambam thinks that it... As in...
You know, it's considered miskayim...
It's considered miskayim if it lasts for an hour, or it's considered miskayim if it lasts for... Has to last for
I think what Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying is that if it lasts more than a day, it could still be eino miskayim. It just... It's not considered miskayim until it lasts even longer than that. We still don't know how much it is.
Like an extended period of time.
But lo sagi b'mashi yachol hiskay rak b'shabes ol yom echad bovad v'chein nir meloshen harampam of perik yud av halacha tesvav achichta b'dav haroshem v'ome kigon diyal v'lo hiskir klal shir lo pachos miyom echad. Right? Now, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say this, but Reb Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's the correct pshat. Which would mean that Reb Shlomo Zalman is trying to say that the Rambam really agrees with Rashi, that Rashi is saying that there's an indefinite amount of time of miskayim. That's really what he's saying.
Even for kosev?
Even for kosev.
But when we had said before, we were saying that there was no machloka between them.
Right, yeah, so we were suggesting that there's no machlokas, that maybe kosev the shear is one day, and makeh b'patash and boneh the shear is longer. Reb Shlomo Zalman is chalentizing everything. But he is at least arguing on the Mishnah Berurah's take within the Rambam. Right, that's the point I'm making. Good. Let's talk about other malachos. Or let's talk about kosev in a different sort of way. The Mishnah Berurah in Simen Shin Mem. In Shin Mem Sifkotin Yud Zayin in the Mishnah Berurah. There's a discussion, you know, the books that I take out all say Mendel Gottesman Library on the pages. Am I allowed to use those books on Shabbos? When I open it up, I am breaking, right, Mendel into half of an M and a lower half of an M, right? So is that mochik? When I close it together, is it kosev? So there's a huge discussion about this in the post-game, the Mishnah Berurah, Shin Mem, Sifkatin Yud Zayin. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Magen Avraham and the Levush write Karov Be'inai L'Chiyuv Chatos, that it's almost an Issur D'oraisa. It seems really, really bad. However, the Rambam writes in the Tshuva that it's permitted to open and close these books. The Mishnah Berurah concludes L'Halacha that if you have another book without the words on the side, use that other book. If not, you're allowed to use this book. I read library books on Shabbos, no? I mean, how can you have Shabbos without, like, books on the YU library? Right? It just would be a serious, serious stare to the Shabbos. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, one of the issues that comes up over there in that conversation is the question of whether this is kosev and mochek, that is miskayim or not miskayim. Because it's going back and forth and back and forth. Some of the poskim say it's sort of like a door to a house. How come I'm allowed to open the door to my house? Isn't that soser? How come I'm allowed to close that door? Isn't it bona? Right, there's a din that being mosif on a binyan kavua is the malacha bona on Shabbos. So you take that door over here. This building is a binyan kavua, correct? When I close the door, I'm bona. When I open the door, I'm soser. How come it's permitted? Answer is, well, it's meant to be open and closed. And answer is, maybe it's not miskayim. Because, right, or the door is meant to be open and closed, the fact that it's on hinges indicates that. The book, maybe, is like the door. Alternatively, even if the book is different than the door, one could argue that books are not meant to be opened and closed like doors are. Because you'd rather have the book open the whole time. It's just the book would get ruined if you leave it like that. But, or I think the Shacharit's in Yerideya, that like there's some shade that that attacks you if you leave your svarim open.
And like under that, like you can forget it. So
it's
just, I
yeah, it's a shade that attacks you. And you forget your Torah. Yeah, it's like really bad. You should know. I saw in the biography of Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank that Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank used to leave his svarim open dafka. He had like a shtender by his door. He used to leave his Gemara open because he felt it's bittul Torah, like when he'd come back home to have to reopen his sefer. That's like super fruit, no?
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's like a whole other level.
Okay, but there's something to it. So the part of that conversation is whether it's called miskayim. Let's talk about another example of a question of miskayim. Lighting a match on Shabbos, is it permitted?
No.
No. Right? Everyone agree? No. How come it's forbidden? Isn't it eino miskayim? The fire that I light will go out really, really soon. It's not even going to last for a full Shabbos. It's not even going to last a minute, right? A match lasts, what, 10 seconds? Then it goes out? How come I'm chayiv for lighting a match on Shabbos?
Is there any concept in miskayim for...
Presumably, the word miskayim exists by every malacha.
What about kol shenu?
What?
If you're chayav for a kol shenu, then
bone, I'm chayav for a kol shenu. It still has to be miskayim.
Yeah, it just
kol shenu means a tiny little hole. I'm chayav on, right? A tiny little fire. I'm chayav on, but it's got to last, right? How can I be chayav? Isn't it eino miskayim? The Goran Ayin Dalad says, "Haiman de artoch kufra." If a person takes pitch, tar, and you heat it up, so it goes from solid to liquid. No, the malacha of mevashel on Shabbos by foods. Mevashel means I go from inedible to edible, but by non-foods, the definition of mevashel is that I change the state. I go from solid to liquid, from liquid to gas. That's mevashel by non-foods. The Gemara says, "Haiman de artach kufra is chayif mishum mevashel." Why am I chayif mishum mevashel? It's eino miskayim. No, you heat it up, it gets soft. Then, right, later on, it's not hot anymore. It will become hard again. Right? Why am I chayif? So, it's not abundantly clear why you're chayiv, and how we deal with the miskayim issue. I thought that maybe with respect to a match, the fire would last forever. It's just that the fuel of the fire goes out. The match is a piece of wood. That, it's not a big piece of wood. If I have a bigger piece of wood, it would last longer, no? So, the chisaron is not in the malacha. The malacha is asiyas ha'esh. The chisaron, the reason why it doesn't last long, is because I don't have enough fuel to keep it going for a long time. Haiman de artach kufra, hakam am chayiv? I don't know. I'm not sure why I'm chayiv mishum mevashel, unless you're going to tell me that Bishul has a different shear of miskayim than other malachos. Right? I could give you a few other examples where there are questions about miskayim, kosher. Right, tying a knot. So kesher shel kayama, I'm chayiv. Kesher sheino shel kayama, I'm not chayiv on Shabbos, right? And there's a whole discussion, how long does a knot have to be chayiv min ha-Torah? 7 days. 1 day. Right? Right, different shiurim in the Beis Yosef and Shin Yud Zayin. Right, I hope that maybe we'll have a chance to talk about kosher this semester. But kosher, is kosher really miskayim? The knot would last forever, l'cha'ora. Or I'll say it like this. Maybe the din of eino miskayim by kosher perhaps is different than by other things. You see, when I talk about eino miskayim with putting the dye on the metal, or writing with water on a piece of paper, it's eino miskayim in the sense that the action won't last. It will, right, as Inspector Gadget says, it will self-destruct. The eino miskayim by kosher is different. The knot itself will last forever. The only thing is, I have in mind to undo it. That's a different type of Eino Miskayim. That's an Eino Miskayim more like the book, when they have the words on the edge of the book. What I'm trying to suggest is that Eino Miskayim by different malachos has different meanings based on... Here, I'll give you another example. Zrika on Shabbos is a malach of Hutzai. I can't go from Rishas HaYochot to Rishas HaRavim carrying something on Shabbos, right? The Gemara has a sheet of Rabbi Akiva that Kluta Kamisha Huncha Dami, that when something flies, it's as if it's down on the ground. So if I throw something, let's say, assuming that there's no Erev, right? I throw something from one side of 34th Street, right? From Brookdale, I throw it to Mendy's, right? So I'm chayiv, according to Rabbi Akiva. I go from Rishas HaYochet to Rishas HaYochet, over Rishas HaRabim, I'm chayiv, Kluta Kamisha Huncha Dami. The Avni Nezer asks Akasha, what do you mean? That's Eino Miskayim big time. Bigly, right? How's our president say it? It's Eino Miskayim. Because, wait, it's not staying there at all. It's just flying through the air. How is that Miskayim at all? So the Avni Nezer answers, well, maybe the Malacha of... I gave you the Maror Malkum, the Avni Nezer. It's Simon Reishiyot, the last paragraph. Maybe the Malacha of Hotsa'ah doesn't have to be miskayim, because Hotsa'ah was never miskayim. The dugma classit, the classical case of Hotsa'ah, was al yetzei ish memkomo to go and collect the mun on Shabbos. When I would go and collect the mun, what did I do? I would go, and I would take a basket from my house, my Rishas HaYochet, I'd go to the Rishas HaRabim, get mun, and then I'm not going to leave my basket in the Rishas HaRabim, I'm going to take my basket back. No? So it's Eino Miskayim, it doesn't last, it doesn't stay there. But that's exactly the malacha, that's precisely the malacha. So we could say that by Hotsa'ah, Miskayim is different than it is by other malachos, and for sure, Eino Miskayim at all is going to be Chayim on Hotsa'ah. Hey, basically, what I'm trying to get at, although I'm not defining terms very precisely, but one could argue that each malacha has to be looked at independently, and I define miskayim by each malacha based on what that malacha is supposed to be. Kosher, oreg, the yisod of those malachos is what the poskim call chibur. The idea of kosher is I attach two things. If I think I'm going to undo it, so it's not a real chibur, it's not completely attached. If it's not a chibur, it's a chisaron in the etzem malacha. There might be a general din of miskayim on Shabbos when the thing self-destructs. But by kosher, by oreg, a malacha of chibur, so we say that miskayim goes differently, and that even if I have in mind to undo it, it's considered eino miskayim. Because the whole malacha is a chibur. By Hotsa'ah, there's no need for miskayim at all. By Bona, by Maki B'Patish, how do we look at these malachos? So one could argue as follows. We mentioned last time very briefly that there's an idea of Ein Binyan B'Kelim, which might mean that Binyan is only when I attach something to the ground. Meaning that binyan means it's attached, it's established, it's firmly rooted. So that's why it has to be miskayim. If it's not miskayim, it's not really attached. If I take something, I stick it in the ground, right, for a second, that's not bona. I walk with high heels on Shabbos, I make a hole for 1 second. That's not bona. Right? Never, we'll have to discuss that shayla at some point, but that's not bona. Because bona means it's attached to the ground. I'm trying to suggest that each malacha is looked at independently, and therefore I can't say that miskayim... I'm inclined, against Rav Shlomo Zalman and against the Mishnah Berurah, I'm inclined to say that the word miskayim means different things in different places. Now, in order to say this, I have to take one particular leap of faith. Okay, do we have 4 more minutes, ladies? Here's the leap of faith. The Torah says don't do malacha on Shabbos, correct? Does the Torah ever say don't be choresh on Shabbos? Well, that's a bad example. Does the Torah ever say don't be osish shtei bati nirin on Shabbos? Does the Torah ever say don't be mevashal on Shabbos? Right? We have a pasuk, lo tasa kol malacha, and that word, lo tasa kol malacha, is mispatzel. It breaks down to 39 different categories. Nachon? Question. Let's say someone is about to be Mechal Shabbos, so I have to give the person a warning. And I say, if you are going to be Mechal Shabbos, you'll be put to death, right? Do I have to say, if you'll be Mechal Shabbos, or is it enough if I say, if you're Mechal Shabbos, in a general sense, you're going to be put to death? Or do I have to be more specific? If you were right, you'll be put to death. There is a discussion.
What do you mean if you were right?
The guy is about to, has a pen.
Oh, if you write.
If you write, you'll be put to death. Do I have to be mefaret? I have to specify the malacha that you're doing. For the hasra'ah, for the warning on Shabbos.
Is it going to be clear to him otherwise?
Does he know?
Don't do a malacha.
Does he know? That
you're doing what you're about to do is a malacha. Is that enough? So does he know? Does she know? I don't know. But like, if I say don't write, does they know that writing is usher on Shabbos? Right? I'm warning them. I'm telling them you should know that writing is usher on Shabbos. You should know what you're doing is a malacha. They have to know specifically. They have to give a very specific warning. Not clear. It's not clear. It's probably Machlokas HaRishonim. And we'll have to talk about this next time. But there is a discussion in the post-gim, a difference between what's called Gufin Muchlokin and Shemos Muchlokin on Shabbos, which is as follows. Do I view all 39 Malachos as being subsets of Malacha? Or do I assume that there are 39 different terms that the Torah assert, but Hashem, instead of specifying all of them, uses one word, malacha? Meaning, do I assume that kosev and oreg are two different titles, two different shemos of Isser? Or do I say kosev and oreg are not different shemos of Isser? They're not different names, they're not different titles. They are both subsets of the Isser of malacha on Shabbos. We'll talk about this next time, right? I gave you some makoros like Gemara and Daf Ayin, different Rashis, right? If you want, there's an awesome sefer by Rabbi Menachem Zemba called the Totzos Chaim. You can probably get it on HebrewBooks.org. Totzos Chaim Simen Hei Os Beis is all of Judaism that we'll be discussing next time. And I also want to move on to the next topic of the Bone Koshahu. So I really want to try to get to the two dots of Hamasates next time, but we have to finish this shiur and then have two other mini shiurim on the next Gemara, because I'm trying to move as quickly as I can. Okay, Chavra, you should have a great night.